is site-specific. I just wanted to get that out there because I'm very sensitive to the concern that was raised by the owner of what about her sign? What about the orientation of the St. John's sign? What about taking this public, this plaza too, which is not being vacated, and essentially giving it to the developer, both with the responsibility to improve it, but also with the impression that it's part of the landscaping for that property rather than public right-of-way? Could you address that concern?
I can, and then, Kurt, you might be able to help me out with a little more history on the sign. So, two things. On this, the only reason the street vacation actually went from whole to partial is because all of the research, including our own independent research with the title companies, the county's research, the city's research, and PBOT's research, indicated that there was no clear title post-vacation, which would have created an immense hurdle for actually building out the plaza and consistently with the St. John's plan. So what actually happened is that plaza stays in public property. And what we're doing is building the plaza on public property and dedicating it, of course, to public use because it's still public property. So it's actually kind of the best of both worlds. It's not a vacated right-of-way. It stays in public use. And the developer is actually funding the maintenance and capital improvements for the plaza. What didn't have to happen under the St. John's plan or under design review was for us to extend that plaza and open up more private property in that gateway configuration and then dedicate that to public use. It should be noted, and I know it's hard to read on a site plan, that is complete a seamless space. There is no demarcation. There's no fence.
My concern.
Yeah,
and
there's
so
no gate. There's nothing. It's
that,
all public.
Since that plaza, too, is still public space,
yes,
shouldn't the other adjacent property owner have input into what it looks like, whether how it gets developed, where her sign is, where the St. John's sign is?
So in the normal course, when you're in design review, everybody has notice of the design review that's in within a particular distance of that property, and the plaza was developed in design review under that notice. If a neighboring property owner doesn't particularly like the design of something, they comment in design review, and then it's the city's authority, actually not ours. It's the city's authority to determine whether the design is compliant with the design guidelines and interfaces well with all the surrounding buildings.
If this is public property, it's not part of the site. So maybe, Kurt, you could address this.
It was in design review.
But I don't see why design review has jurisdiction over it since it's PBOTS.
Again, for the record, Kruger Road Transportation. So we have an agreement, actually it's in code with BDS, Bureau of Development Services, that when we do a non-standard improvement in the public right-of-way, which this would be, it requires design review.
Wouldn't then the adjacent property owner who's not this applicant be required to be a co-applicant?
No.
No. PBOT's in control of issuing that permit within the right-of-way. And that's why we take it through the design review process to get public input on that non-standard improvement. If this was a typical street, curbs, sidewalks, street trees, we wouldn't ask anybody for any design because that's the standard that we're implementing. But because we're varying from that standard, the code requirement is to take that through design review to open up that public comment period.
So what's the provision for the colony sign and where will that be?
So the sign, to my knowledge, to our knowledge, was permitted years ago through a short-term allowance, a permit that was set to expire, and I believe it expired 5 years ago. That sign is probably, for lack of a technical term, an illegal sign in the right-of-way that we would not permit today. It's a private sign in the public right-of-way, and we typically don't allow those.
How is it clear that the plaza is, in fact, public space and not part of the courtyard plaza? It doesn't seem like it is because there's a seamless. So it seems like there's an appropriation of public space that looks like it's associated with the private development, and that especially if the colony sign has to come down, they seem out of luck.
Well, can I just jump in on this for a sec? Because I'm feeling like I'm going to be eligible for college credit soon listening to this discussion. don't we have the same situation throughout the city, like the River District, where areas have been, there's public space integrated into a design and that's seamless, but it's clearly public space?
Yes, we have that situation. And actually, what's happening here is this is not a private appropriation of public space. The opposite is more true, that this is the expansion of public space onto private property as to Plaza 2 and an expansion of that. I completely understand the concern that, like, let's be sure it's very clear that it's all public. It's designed to accomplish that, which is what they do in the River District and in other areas of the city where you have an extension of a plaza space maybe onto private property. The design staff is very, very cognizant of that and tries to ensure that all of our design elements are seamless so people experience the space that way.
So how was the design modified by input from the colony and by the neighborhood of the Plaza 2?
We would probably have to bring up BDS staff to answer that question. They are in the audience.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. I mean, I know you always do great public outreach, and when I was there 6 months ago, there was discussion about this in general, and there was a lot of, well, we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, and it seems like there is still an opening for looking at how can the interests of the other property owner be safeguarded, because she could come forward with a street vacation request tomorrow.
Except that that no one who has done the legal search on this has been, I mean, with all due respect, there's one property owner who's raised this issue, and we have four jurisdictions that have said legally there is no clear answer to that. So we can't resolve that through this proceeding, and she's no better off or worse off.
That's right. Well, she is, because her sign will come down.
But her sign's illegal to begin with.
Anyway, I think this is, let's come back to, let's stick with this panel first. I just want to make sure we get all the questions, and then we'll come back to that. Can I jump in for one sec? Because I heard some questions. If I missed the questions stated, please blame me, not the author of the question. I was trying to keep track of comments from the public. But one person raised a question about TriMet buses and the turning ratio or something. Could you address that?
Sure. Commissioner Fish, I apologize. I was spending more time out of council chambers than in, but I think I did catch that question.
You were doing that at council direction to try to negotiate,
you.
So we appreciate that.
We have consulted TriMet. They have been part of the design. We will make sure that the TriMet bus can make the corner at the new intersection. But what probably wasn't made clear is there will be a new westerly lane that's developed where Ivy Island is that will be the new gateway, the new entrance, the new roadway traveling into St. John's. So that corner is actually going to grow and have more room, just like a downtown street corner. TriMet will be able to make that turn.
I've seen a lot of slides, and it's late in the day, and we've had a full day of council, so I'm just going to ask you a question that I should know, but I don't remember from the earlier slides. Someone testified that most of Ivy Island will be built on, and that sounded like the building portion would be on. What percentage of Ivy Island is actually occupied by a structure? Do we know?
No, a corner.
Okay.
Most of Ivy Island will be in the road improvement and the plaza, the public plaza.
Right. So my understanding was very little of the building is
very little. And Ivy Island, the vacation is 5,000 square feet. The area dedicated back to the public through whatever mechanism we ensure that occurs is near 9,000.
And just so I understand this, there's less building on that footprint because the applicant sought an adjustment so that the building is actually moved back beyond what the code would otherwise require. Is that correct?
That's true, and the building complies completely with all the density requirements in the code.
I also want to make sure I understand what's before us here and what is separate, because a lot of important issues have been raised. Some seem germane to this proceeding. Some seem maybe are addressed in another forum. Are there any issues that, Kurt, that have been raised about the design of the building that have any connection to the issue before us today?
Thank you. I think the design of the building before a vacation or after a vacation are the key issues. If the vacation didn't occur and the applicant, we didn't go through this. We left everything as it is today. The sight lines will actually get worse because the applicant could build all the way out to the property line as the code would ask today.
And would the applicant be able to build the same scale of a building? The
yes.
same? Because we had
Correct.
Some concerns raised by folks about the number of floors and mm-hmm. some of the massing. So that would still be as of right?
That's correct.
Could I just ask a clarification? I know you're in the middle of questioning, but I don't see why this. And I'm in favor of changing the street. Let me be really clear about that. But I don't see why the sight lines would be worse because there's this encroachment into the slip lane.
So the problem today is that the would be easier if we were all standing at the corner and looking at this.
All right. Let's go. Okay. We have a bus waiting. We have set 5 buses out front, enough for everyone in the audience. We're heading out there. We're having dinner on you, Kurt.
Thank you. I retract that suggestion. The building that the code requires would set that building up at the property line today. So if we didn't vacate it and the right-of-way there stayed the same, we would actually have a building that would move closer to the right-of-way than there is today. So that site distance would actually get worse if we left it alone.
No, because it would be on the slip road.
The curvature of the road right now doesn't have a building that's right up to the edge of the back of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Commissioner Saltzman, I want to make sure we're giving everyone equal time here.
No questions.
Commissioners, if I may, I wanted to highlight what Commissioner Fritz really painted as a chicken and egg issue. We struggle with this when we see this situation arise from time to time. It happens probably once a year where we think we see a street vacation that we would support for a traffic improvement, but trying to bring a developer along, knowing that there's an arduous process and a long road ahead, most developers choose not to jeopardize a project not knowing what that outcome may be 10, 11, 12 months down the road. So what we in PBOT tried to do with the applicant was try to do this due diligence and reach out to St. John's residents, St. John's business, St. John's Main Street, to get ahead of this so the applicant knew what they were getting into. And we did that with the recognized neighborhood association that the city identifies with.
And is it possible for the council to have different conditions now that would modify the design reviews committee? Because if they had come to us, we could have said, no, you don't have to put the building right up to the right-of-way. We could have said, we're going to vacate it, and we don't want it all the way to the right-of-way.
I'm not going to suggest council that has a limitation on what you can do. I think you have the ability to make modifications.
So can I just do a time check and a process check? Currently, this is a first reading of an ordinance, so this would go to a second reading. I want to just ask a few questions. Commissioner Novick, is it your intention to seek a time certain for next week for this matter?
I would like to do that, and what I would hope is, apparently the city attorney has said that if we instruct staff to come up with an amendment that will ensure that the amount of plaza space is not diminished and that there will be public access to that plaza space, then we could add that amendment after it's drafted next week without having additional testimony.
Well, we've also had plenty of testimony from folks explaining that they would like to see such a mechanism. The legal terms of how we structure that, we will, because one of the things I want to just propose as a next step, I don't want to foreclose this discussion, we'll go as long as the council wants, is that we ask Carla to see if we have a time certain next week that we could move this to. We make clear that the applicant, working with PBOT and Commissioner Fritz, who is the sponsor of the amendment, work over the next week to see if they can come to an agreement on an amendment that would have been brought to council, and that we then see next week whether we're ready to take a vote on the matter before us. Is that conceptually acceptable to my colleagues?
Yeah, that the public easement over all the plaza area is really important.
Well,
I guess we can figure out how to do
that. And I'm comfortable saying that since Commissioner Fritz, you're the sponsor of the amendment, that it would be you, Commissioner Novick, the applicant, the PBOT staff, would work together to come up with an amendment. If you're not satisfied, that will have consequences next week.
Yeah.
Carla, can I ask you, we have public here, and I want to make sure we pick a time that's convenient. What time certain would we have available next week?
I have 10:45 in the morning, or really the afternoons are really booked both Wednesday and Thursday.
What's the biggest thing?
Wednesday is the 2:30 deconstruction. They've asked for 2 hours, and Thursday is the 3rd and Harrison.
What about 2 o'clock on Wednesday?
That's taken by the age-friendly presentation.
Oh.
What's the 10:45 on Wednesday?
10:45 is
10:45?
Right.
That sounds good. That's usually, we're usually
time
with
time sentence before that.
The Southwest Corridor Project for 45 minutes and PP&R labor agreement.
Steve, could we flip those two? Southwest Corridor, just put this first.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'd have to ask. I have to figure out if staff could, and others would need to rearrange their time.
I think we have electeds. Let's grab 10:45 time certain on Wednesday as a control date. If for some reason the council needs to reschedule, people will be notified. But let's grab 10:45. And if history is any guide, it's likely the time certain would start a little after 10:45. But I would encourage you to come at 10:30 just in case. It will not be heard before 10:45, but it will likely be heard a little bit afterwards. Commissioner Fritz would then, as the proposer of the amendment, work with her colleagues, her colleague and staff, and the applicant to work out an amendment. And that amendment, Commissioner Fritz, ideally would be posted how soon before the next hearing?
Whenever we can do it. I can't tell you.
Ideally, we'd have it the day before, at least, so we could post it so people could see it. And are there any other questions for this panel?
So then, Mr. President, there's two issues that I think are compelling that I'm wondering if, obviously, we're not going to get everybody happy with the whole thing, but there's two things that I think we might be able to do a little something with. One is that corner with the building in the former, right, the current slipway, and then the second is the treatment of the Plaza 2 and the signage for the Colony and the appearance that it's shared with the Colony as well as shared with the new development. And so maybe as part of the discussions, we could just brainstorm to see if there's anything that could be done with those two issues. I'd like to have some options to be able to explore that, whether we can or not. Maybe challenging. But certainly with the issue with the Colony, there should be something that we can do to make sure that the other adjacent property owner has their needs met.
Let me be clear. By council process, those discussions can occur by right. Whether there is an agreement that comes to council that has a majority of vote is to be determined. If a council colleague feels strongly about it, I think that should be part of the discussion. And if there is some proposal that ultimately the sponsor, Commissioner Novick, wants to bring forward, that will be PBOT's decision. I encourage that discussion, and there's nothing in our rules which precludes that discussion because we're going to a second, and a majority of council determines whether we vote next week or not in any event.
We would have to would vote on the amendment, and then we'd have to pass it to second reading the week after anyway.
Well, that's right.
And I learned recently that it requires four votes for a street vacation because you're all right. Public right-of-way is an extremely important thing. I'm delighted. Usually street vacations, Commissioner Novick cares about them because he's in charge of PBOT. All this great staff care about them. I care about them all the time, and I really appreciate that everybody else here cares about this one. And you can see why, right? Because it's public right-of-way. We want to make sure that we don't give it away, that we invest in something else if we're going to not have it anymore.
I want to join my colleague in just observing that in the course of this, I've noticed that it sort of unpacks as a whole suite of issues, which are the issues that we're debating as the city is going through some growing pains. And every one of these issues has traction and is current and is real. And I want to thank everybody for the thoughtfulness of their testimony and the time. Without objection, Steve, we will final word.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody watching at home understands that what Commissioner Fritz just said suggests that if you want to make her happy, come and testify on all future street vacations. that will not necessarily always make me happy, however.
Well, we do have another Humdinger next Thursday afternoon. Yes. If anybody would like to join us, that's going to be fascinating, too.
We may be limiting the testimony in some of those street vacations. They're otherwise done on consent.
They're important.
So, without objection, this matter goes to a second reading. Carla, time certain next Wednesday at 10:45?
Correct.
And we are adjourned. Thank you all.